You're listening to Rosie on the House.
There it is. That's your weekend wake-up call right there. We're in the outdoor living segment hour of Rosie on the House with Romy and John Eisenhower. Before I turn the studio over to them, I just wanted to give you all a tease. You've heard me climb up on my soap boxes in the past. Jennifer has a ginormous soapbox she's going to get on several times today about roof rats. And I'm not talking about the furry little four-legged rats with a tail. I'm talking about roofing contractors that are scamming people left and right all across the state because of the storms that have moved in. And Jennifer is going to sing like a bird on top of her soapbox about this. If you have roof damage, do nothing until you hear Jennifer's segment. Let me turn it over to John and Romy.
Wow. Makes you wonder. You know, that same thing is true about tree services. Oh. You know, when you have all this storm damage across town and trees are down left and right, a lot of these companies will just go door-to-door knocking on your, you know, looking for that quick dollar. And just be real, real careful. You know, working with uninsured companies, should something happen on your property and they don't, and they're not properly insured, that will fall to the homeowner's insurance policy. And that could be a pretty serious. If there was a serious injury or a death on site, it's a very, very serious legal matter if you have a uninsured worker who gets hurt on your property. And also, you know, you just have to just be really careful. These guys will scam you. We've had these heard stories of tree services coming and knocking on your door, and they get you agree a price to do the work. They get halfway done with the project. They have all the branches on the ground, and they say, hey, my chainsaw's broken. Can you front me the money so I can run down to the store to get parts for my chainsaw? And so they front them the entire cost of the project. The worker just takes off and is and never seen again. So be really careful. Those sort of things are happening.
That's where you just give them your grandpa's old handsaw. Here you go. Finish.
Well, lots to talk about today. It's, you know, in light of that storm, we've just been working some long hours this last week or two. Listening to that last broadcast about all the power outages and the, it's true of a lot of services who are out there, but especially tree services right now are doing a lot of mop up. This is one of the biggest storms, you know. Even it wasn't that intense. It wasn't didn't seem to be that even predicted, and but it was widespread. Sometimes we'll have a storm, it'll hit a certain part of town, and you just hear that that one community got hit real hard. This is was amazing from Buckeye to Mesa, you know, to way out north Phoenix, you know, across town. We just had a lot of severe damage, very high winds. And, yeah, the it's a time to, you know, take some precautions now as you're heading into these next couple of weeks. If you've got some larger trees, time to do, of course, some pruning. It's a little... maybe do a little bit of additional staking if you've got some small, younger trees and be sure they're staked properly. And we'll talk a little bit about proper staking later in the broadcast. But the you want to just be taking care to be sure that the trees that have the heaviest end weight are taken care of. Had a lot of damage with Palo Verdes and mesquites in the last couple of weeks in this last round of storms. But even before the storms hit last week, we had quite a few trees that were failing, a lot of Palo Verdes and mesquites with major branches breaking. And the reason that is they get loaded up with seed pods. And the seed pods increase the end weight on a lot of those larger branches. You know, they when those are just blooming in March and April, soon those all those flowers on those mesquite and Palo Verde trees produce a seed pod that starts getting larger and heavier, and the those branches sometimes can't take that little bit of extra weight. And then if you add to that a little bit of additional wind, and then you have trees not just branches breaking, but entire tree failure, where the root plate of the tree fails and the entire tree topples over.
You see that a lot in native trees, mesquites and Palo Verde. And a big part of that is just the way we plant them. You walk into the desert and you see the mesquites and Palo Verdes, and they are not trimmed up like shade trees like we put them in our yard.
Sure.
They're more bushes and shrubs, and they come to the ground, and they grow in a way that they can sustain that wind. We plant them in desert scapes. We put them on drips. We don't water them deep enough. We trim them up, and we set them up to fail.
Sure. Yeah. Most of our desert trees have a look like a large shrub in the landscape because the branches grow all the way to the ground, and wind can't get up underneath them. But if we take that same tree that has that weeping growth habit and normally has branches that go all the way, drape all the way to the ground, and then we limit up and make it kind of create a beach umbrella, well, it's no surprise that they don't stay upright when the winds come. And yeah, it's a shame. The native trees tend to do just fine, but it's ones that we've kind of worked on in our built landscapes that tend to have most of the problems.
We've got a volunteer Palo Verde that kicked off by the arena, and that thing outgrows anything. And it's not on any kind of irrigation. It doesn't get any kind of fertilizer, and it doesn't get any trimming, just left to itself. It outperforms everything that we try and grow.
Well, you know, the trees that have the most problems tend to be the hybrids, the cultivars that the nursery industry has you know, developed these wonderful trees that grow pretty quickly. And that's one of the reasons why they're so popular is they achieve their landscape purpose fast. They put on new growth quickly. But you have a tiger by the tail. When you buy some of these hybrid new cultivars, the Palo Verdes and mesquites, as opposed to buying the natives, you can buy some of the smaller, more compact tree species that are more similar to our native trees, but they grow more slowly. But they also are safer. So if you do buy the faster growing trees and you have some of those in the landscape, and I'm sure some of our listeners are nodding their heads, yes, we have one of those tigers by the tail right now, one of those big trees that you never anticipated it would get so big and it would grow so fast. You just have to be a little more aggressive in pruning them. We did a lot of repair work this week on several big Palo Verdes that had some damage, and we just concentrated on reducing the end weight. By the way, a lot of people think that the best way to make their trees safe is to strip out the inside of the tree and to start trimming the tree up from the bottom. But what that does is it lion tails the tree. It leaves a lion tail of heavy foliage out on the ends of the branches. But those branches become even more vulnerable because the force of the wind is collected out in that branch end, and it flags in the wind, and we get a lot of branch breakage that way. The proper way to thin out a tree is to thin it out equally along the entire length of all the branches. So you leave some foliage down low in the tree, because that actually collects some of the force of the wind and delivers it to the lower along the base of that branch, where the diameter is greater and it can support that movement. And then you go out to the outer third of the canopy, which is often neglected in line tailing, and you do some thinning out in the outer third. That's the most critical part. And if you have an even distribution of foliage top to bottom and you've thinned out the tree evenly across the entire canopy, it'll be a lot safer tree. It'll look more natural, and it will just be a safer tree long term. So we did a lot of that this week, a little restoration work, a little repair work. Took out a lot of trees, unfortunately. Had customers asking us, hey, can you save our tree? You know, maybe some of the listeners have some trees, and you're wondering, can I save it? Sometimes we do. You know, sometimes the tree's just it's leaned over, it's pulled out of the ground. And if it's a younger tree, we can sometimes bring them back up, put them onto a cabling system, and water them back in. We usually use some sort of a tool to kind of, like the butt end of a shovel, to kind of push the soil back in around the roots to, and with some water to help fill any air cavities that have formed when the tree came up, and push that root system back down into the soil and then restake it. And sometimes you can have to leave it on that staking system for a year or two while it gets the roots get reestablished. But and then, of course, trim the top of it again to take some of the weight out so it can take some pressure off that cabling system. And we've had a lot of good success with those, you know. Other times you just say, you know, it's too difficult. We had a big Palo Verde came up the other day, and the owner wanted to take this. It's a huge tree with a big, you know, two-foot diameter trunk at the base. The whole root plate came up. It was about 10 feet across. Well, we took the crane and we set it back up. But he wanted to stake this huge tree. He wanted to leave the top in place. But interestingly, as we started to work around the base of the tree, we noticed that Palo Verde borers had been eating all the roots. And so that was...
And those are those big, fun, black-looking beetles that come out
right,
in the summertime.
Right, but the grub is a big white grub about 5 to 6 inches in diameter, about the diameter of your thumb, about 5 or 6 inches in length. And they eat and chew away at the roots of these Palo Verde trees. And that was the primary reason this tree fell, was that the root system was just being devoured by these borers. And then when the winds came, there was no stability in the soil, and it went down. But I was glad we saw that because, you know, you want to be sure that you evaluate Palo Verdes very carefully before you try to salvage them, because if there are borers in the soil that were responsible for the failure, they'll continue to – it wouldn't be a tree that you could ever see get reestablished.
We're talking trees with ISA-certified arborist John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. You can too. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text to 411-923, or you can send an email if you need help with plant or insect identification. Snap a picture and email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com.